It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, number nine.
So the Dodgers are in town. They take game one against the Astros. It was O'Kurt and Weiss, and it went the way you might suspect. O'Kurt couldn't get through an inning, and Weiss wishes he didn't have to go out there. Actually, he's a competitor. He probably wanted to go out there. It just has not gone well. He has pitched poorly since he has been an Astro, and it's just gotten worse. He was okay to start, and you just start to look at the appearances as he kept getting more opportunities, and they have been bad, and last night was bad. And he had to go out there and pitch more than you would want if you were hoping for an Astro win. Okay, he's bad. Let's get him out of there. They had no options. Their pitching staff is sunk. Not only are they bad, they just don't have viable arms. So when you see a guy out there getting raked and a spotter doesn't pull him, it's because these guys are so stretched that someone has to take the punishment. And Ryan Weiss was that guy last night. His ERA is now at over 7.6. He is the third guy in the Astro staff as far as pitches and pitching, as far as appearances and or at least innings. Burroughs and McCullers are the only guys who have thrown more. And Weiss is a guy who's, as you might imagine, throwing a lot of pitches per innings. The whip is over 2. Opponent's batting average is over 310. It's at 315. And he threw 95 pitches last night. But as I said, they got no choice. Who else are they going to roll out there? They have to have a guy eat innings. And, well, in this case, eat base hits. They have to have a guy go out there and just take a beating because their staff, because of whether it be injury or just guys not performing, they have put guys in spots where, hey, if you don't go out there and take this beating, the guy behind you is an injury concern if we roll him out there. There's a whole article about it from Chandler Rome discussing the roster crisis and how a spotter just has to let guys get punished out there, or he can pitch another guy who he puts at risk for injury. So it didn't help that they had their doubleheader thanks to the weather. And, you know, they've had the bullpen games. They had one on Sunday. They had one yesterday. And using those five relievers on Sunday really cost them and Ryan Weiss yesterday. You don't have the options, and you don't have guys who are effective. People are going to pay the price, and Ryan Weiss is currently that guy. So get used to it until either the pitching performances get better or you get reinforcements. Imai's down in Sugarland pitching for the Space Cowboys. Josh Hader's down there too as Imai and Hader try to find their way back. Imai had a rough outing at Corpus Christi, looking for a better performance tonight, and we'll see if Hader gets the work necessary over the next couple weeks maybe before he's back with the big club. But Kyle Tucker hit a home run. He was booed, but he hit a home run. And I asked the guys this morning and about why are we booing Kyle Tucker. I know he's on a different team, so you boo him. I get the fan reaction, but he didn't ask out. He simply was traded because he was worth more than the Astros were willing to pay. I don't remember him being booed as a Cub. Do you remember that?
I don't remember, but he probably did.
Yeah. So it was succinctly put, not that I want to have a long discussion, not getting after you, Sean, but since I asked you the question, but it was succinctly put, I wanted to highlight the listener. He chose the Dodgers. He gets booed. That's enough for me. That makes sense to me.
And he, you know, for all the playoff success that the Astros had with Kyle Tucker, the playoff numbers for Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, we know he wasn't great.
And that is a, yes, you know, spoiled Astros fan of that era of, like, you know, make the ALCS every year, make the World Series basically every other year. So it's not only, like, were you on a successful team? It's, were you actually good in the playoffs for a successful team? It's even less like, yeah, he hit whatever, 30 home runs in whatever year. It's like, yeah, we don't actually care about the regular season. Like, it's what you did in the playoffs, and he was a, whatever, 215 hitter or whatever the actual number was. Just that right there, and then you add in the fact that he's on the Dodgers. Like, I think Dodgers-Yankees, like, you just get auto-booed. And Kyle Tucker, yeah, you know, people don't love you like they love Correa, Altuve,
yeah, that King,
Bregman.
Yeah, that King Tuck stuff went away pretty quickly.
They just don't love you the same way.
Yeah.
Like, he would, even when he was on the team, like, if you were to ask, like, the fan favorites, like, power rank them.
He was not among them.
No.
Hey, you play good baseball. Player. We love you when you play good, and we don't love you so much when you play bad.
Yeah.
It's Peter Lambert tonight against Shohei Ohtani.
Oh.
Okay.
I wish that for random Tuesday night games, they gave the full, like, giant, like, picture of one guy, giant picture of the other starting pitcher. Like it's a playoff game or a World Series game, or how they sell NBA games where it's like LeBron, SGA for Thunder Lakers versus Ohtani, Lambert.
They still pick Altuve. I if they did do that,
the tail of the tape.
If this game was on national TV, I think they'd find a different Astro than Lambert.
The starting pitching matchup.
Nope, you have. No, and you also get the entertainment of Ohtani versus pick Yordan. I think it'd be Ohtani and Yordan.
I know. Yeah, Ohtani ruins it because he can do both.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
get it because it'll happen on Thursday Night Football. If one of the teams has no stars, it might be like it might be the coach.
They put Belichick on there.
Yeah,
one time.
For the Patriots. I know it happens.
I think that everything you need to know about the Astros season so far is that Yamamoto started last night for the Dodgers. Ohtani started tonight, or it's going to start tonight for the Dodgers. The Astros are running out there. Okurt with Ryan Weiss to be the bulk guy and throw 95 pitches to get out of four innings. Mm-hmm. All right. And then Peter Lambert? Is it Peter? Ryan
Peter.
Lambert?
It's Peter.
Peter Lambert for game two. It's like, that's the Astros this season, all wrapped up into two games.
The biggest intrigue,
they got Yamamoto, they got Ohtani, we got Lambert.
The biggest intrigue is what's happening for their AAA club, because Hader and Imai are possibilities to pitch. So you're far more
put that game on.
You're far more interested to see if one of those two guys is making their way back than watching Lambert on the mound. Hopefully, forget it. I'm not even interested in completing that sentence.
Yeah, send TK and Blummer to Sugarland.
Broadcast that game, or at least have picture in picture.
This game should not be. It's on TBS apparently.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe we will get a Ohtani Lambert.
It won't be over
next on NBC.
If
TBS.
If they do it, they will pick someone from the lineup because I don't think they have a graphic.
Oh, yeah.
For Lambert.
He wasn't there on media day. He wasn't on the team on media day.
Yeah, you know what his picture is. It's just a superimposed Astros jersey on him like they do. Because he wasn't there when they took these pictures. They just put they superimposed that hat and
I'm picturing him doing the full arms cross where they toss the baseball up.
Or like when the Premier League does, when NBC has the Premier League lineups and all the guys. Like, it's either Champions League or Premier League where they do a serious pose.
Yeah, they, like,
and
turn.
Then they do a kind of a more relaxed pose.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's a World Cup thing. Either way, Lambert wasn't involved in one of those for the Astros. But he is on the mound tonight.
Good.
Lambert God versus that Astros lineup. Or excuse me, that Dodgers lineup and Ohtani versus the Astros. So.
And even tomorrow's game, it's Tyler Glasnow versus McCullers. These Dodgers, man, they're
They got a stacked roster, don't they?
They got some guys.
They continue to roll out guys.
They got some real guys on this team. Not enough people give them credit.
It makes sense why they're pretty good, right? Every time you turn around, there's another pitcher who's pretty good.
Yeah, their lineup goes like seven deep of real guys.
Man. I remember when we were like that.
God.
Maybe what we're looking at about
maybe one day.
4 years ago.
I'll tell my grandkids about that. Show them that graphic from the 2019 Astros where it's just like all the guys in one lineup.
And remind them that that team did not win the World Series.
No. No, I think that is really the like, even more so than anything else. that's the one where I'm like, God, that sucks. It sucks they didn't win that one. That team was awesome.
Simply because they could not win a game at home.
I know. They've done that before.
Did it against the Rangers. They would have gone to another World
Series. It's like the only two times that's ever happened.
Yeah. Simply cannot win games at home. All right. We will go to Eric here, then we'll go to break. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, I mentioned a couple weeks ago about Jim Lunau returning as a general manager. And they'll scoff at me, but John Donato brought it up this morning. I think that's a real possibility. And if you could do that trade over again, would you rather get Giannis instead of KD? And Peter's another name for Wiener.
I believe that's in reference to Lambert. I did scoff at you. John is positioning it as he has a feeling. Like he's not reporting, but he has a feeling. I don't know why he has that feeling. What is it? An itch?
Is he hearing grumblings?
Is it a scratch? Yeah, Eric, are you hearing rumblings like John is hearing rumblings? Yeah, I scoff at you because a lot of things you say deserve scoffing. Like you're allowing me to think about Peter being another word of saying wiener. So or the opposite. So I will scoff at you and we'll continue. If it happens, cool. I mean, I get it. You're trying to relive the magic and find that again. If it's anything like college football, it's not going to work. If it's anything, going back and trying it again, like, hey, Alex Cora, they brought him back to middling results and they fired him.
Yeah. And with Luno especially, it's like, he was just so, like, cutting edge on all this stuff.
Yeah, is he out in front
and everyone copycat
of baseball now if he does it again, if he comes back? What's he doing? Isn't he owning soccer teams? I don't know if he's making
great success.
Is he making decisions for them or just an owner?
He at least has positioned it as he's getting involved in soccer analytics, which are, you know, still younger on the development cycle than where baseball. It's like, you can just look up a stat for everything.
So he's got a couple of teams in Mexico.
Isn't one like Cancun FC.
FC, and then there's the other that he bought more recently back in 2022. So, yeah, I don't know if he's running those teams, the day-to-day operations, that would allow, or is he someone who could be an owner there, like the Commanders owner who owns like the Commanders,
Sixers.
And the Sixers, and then the Kroenkes own. Stan owns like several teams.
Yeah.
And then he could own those two, but do the day-to-day operations for the Astros. It would be interesting, considering you might think that Jim Crane threw him under the bus.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, like, can't they get – he's got to have some lieutenants out there that you can
– Well, Todman was one of his lieutenants.
Yeah, maybe like Mike Elias. I'd go more Mike Elias.
Oh, okay. You don't – okay. Not Todman. Okay.
No, a lot of guys have to say no. A lot of guys have to say
so. You would have him on the list, but you'd have to go through like six or seven guys.
Very down on the list.
He's your Josh Heupel?
Yeah, yeah. I think Jeremy Branham might be ahead of him on the list.
Okay.
But they're both on the list.
Okay. If it happens, it would be, I would be surprised considering the fallout and why it initially happened. And does baseball... What were we talking about where someone – oh, Todman. He was one of, like, 10 guys who were on some type of exempt list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where he's, like, literally cannot
– Yeah, Luno is not one of those guys. So I wonder if baseball would just, like, say, hey, Jim, how about you not?
Yeah, I think they can backroom deal it where it's like, all right.
Like, we didn't put him on the list, but let's not have the – one of the guys who we have, whether right or wrong, we have positioned as one of the co-conspirators for one of the, as we consider it, biggest cheating scandals in all of sports. How about we don't give him his job back? Like, you know, they never let Pete Rose back in for gambling. This is different, but it's still one of the things baseball, and they pick and choose, but they picked the Astros as something they were going to come down on.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to hear what baseball, like the general baseball mafia, would think about Luno being the general manager again.
Like, I'm just picturing baseball mafia.
Like
Rob Manfred, Joe Torre, Tim Kirkshen, all the smoke-filled rooms.
Jeff up passing.
Yeah, Ken Rosenthal calling a hit.
You come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding. What? Passing? Excuse me?
A.G. Przinski is like the Luca Brasi.
Jim Crane's coming in, hat in hand. He goes, I don't know what to do.
I came to this country. I came to baseball with nothing.
Jim Crane's like Johnny
on my back.
Jim Crane's like Johnny Fontaine. I don't know what to do. You can act like a man. Who would be that guy?
What's the matter with you?
You cry like a woman.
Yeah,
who's that guy? Who's the Godfather?
I'll think about
is it Manfred?
Hmm.
Is Manfred acting in the Godfather role? If Jim Crane came hat in hand asking to, can I hire Jeff Luno back?
No, I don't think he's Fontaine. I don't know who's Fontaine.
I don't think
just like small market owners.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think Jim Crane is Johnny Fontaine. I just think it'd be interesting.
Yeah, no.
It'd be funny in that
it's one of the best parts of that movie.
Yeah, it's one of the best parts. Yeah, Hollywood, then he uses a word.
What's the matter with you?
And then he uses an Italian word I can't say.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's insulting.
It was insulting.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna say it. I hope we get a scenario and then we hear about Jim Crane having to ask for permission to hire Jeff Luno back.
Before this year, we can have ABS in the minor leagues, but we can't let it touch the major league community, all right? Put in the minors.
That's a reference I always talk about where...
The most racist...
It's the most racist... Like, The Godfather...
Probably one of the most racist things said in a film.
Yeah, The Godfather's full of racist things, and films in general have those, but that particular scene where they're talking about selling drugs, but it's not... It's for the Not for us.
Because they're animals.
Yeah, because they're animals. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. I know it's a great movie. I know it's critically acclaimed, but there are some things
That guy gets like a piano wire to the throat like 5 minutes later, so it's all right, yeah, but still.
It's a little pause there. Like,
yeah.
Is this for me?
It's aggressive.
Is this for me? And then he dies, and you're like, okay, maybe it is for me. All right, we'll go to break. Hopefully, Eric and John Granato are right, and Jeff Luno is your GM. I just question whether you can duplicate all that success, are you just asking for? You're asking to really to ignore what has kind of been historically a bad decision. Great success, try to relive it, and it rarely, if ever, matches what your thoughts are. All right, we'll go to break. We got a couple more segments to go. You can join us 713-780-3776. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Follow us on socials at ESPN Houston, and don't forget to have our push notifications on.
You gotta change your push notifications. Look.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get back to the Rockets here. Let's hear from... Do I have the... did I put the Rafael Stone on Kevin Durant over there, Sean? Maybe I didn't save it.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Okay. So we've got people with their speculation on Kevin Durant. Patrick Beverley's another one who is asking a question in a tone that suggests he may believe the question and doesn't need an answer. He already believes what he's asking, that Kevin Durant was ducking the Lakers. He says he really hopes Kevin Durant wasn't ducking the smoke. Now, it's Patrick Beverley, so take it for what it is. But when you go out the way the Rockets did and Kevin Durant doesn't play except for one game in the series, you get opened to these types of baseless questions. From all accounts, you look at what happened in game two. That ankle turned pretty severely, and he was unable to play. You go by what the Rockets say. He tried to get back. He just simply could not. There is a rub dirt on it, tape it up and play, take the shot that needs to be taken and go out and play. But the Rockets told you it wasn't about pain. It was about mobility. So if he's out there limping around and he just gets taken out of the game because he can't go, what does that mean? What does that do for the team? some people would have preferred to see the effort, even if it was performative. But I think he was injured, and they made the choice, and the right one, not to put him out there, because while the hope this year was to compete for a title, the Rockets themselves said this wasn't a KD, acquiring KD wasn't simply about championship or bust. And here's Rafael Stone on his star player.
Say with respect to bringing Kevin in, that it was championship or bust. I never said that to him. I never said that to anybody. That's very much not our attitude. We thought he could be additive to the team. He was. We thought he could be a wonderful example to the team of to the young guys of how to work like a professional, how to like really hone your craft. I thought he did a really good job of that. That's the thought process.
So I read the quote from the Shelburne and Tim McMahon article that the Rockets aren't going to be, at least what they're saying now, they're not going to be so gung-ho on trading these young guys because they believe this window can be a very large one with the five guys we saw start the last couple of playoff games. And Kevin Durant would supplement them, at least for the next couple of years. Do I believe that, though? Now, championship or bust certainly would, if they are treating the season like that, would make this an utter failure. He, in some sound we did not get to, said it was a disappointment and there was frustration. So, if it was always win or win the title and nothing else matters, then they surely failed and they got nowhere close to their goal. So, I get not wanting that context around their team, particularly all these young players who, honestly, were never ready to compete for a title. I think the gap in age between where Kevin Durant is and where their best young players are was too wide. You look at who the best teams are. You got young players, certainly, with Chet and Jalen Williams and others. You go around the league, Wimby, certainly young, Castle and Dylan Harper. But in the Spurs case, we don't know that they're going to win the title. They're already down 0-1 to a much more experienced Wolves team as far as these depths of the playoffs. And OKC has an MVP candidate. The Rockets don't have that. And he, despite being young, isn't 21, 22. He's been around quite a while now.
Yeah, he was drafted in 2018.
So Shea is in the prime of his career, while the Rockets' best players, outside of Kevin Durant, are at the very start. Yeah, Shea's 27 years old. He won earlier than what has been the case back 15 years ago. These guys didn't win until they're 29, 30 years old. That has changed. I think Dwayne Wade won it at like 24, but he had Shaq with them. So things have certainly moved and trended younger for best player on the team to win a title. But LeBron didn't get it until he was in his late 20s. So it's how it goes. And Shea got his at 26. He won it at 27. He doesn't turn 26. He turned 27 last July. He'll turn 28 this July. So he won it at 26. So a little earlier than normal NBA standards, where the Rockets are.
I was going to say still, what?
Three years beyond their oldest player as far as their best player. So I think there was too big of an age gap. I understand the microwaving of it all because you hadn't won a playoff series. Kevin Durant was available.
Yeah.
And I understand trading Jalen Green if you think he wasn't the answer, particularly coming off what he did in the playoffs. But I think Eric asked a question about a trade. Was it this one? I forgot.
Would you do the
– the Giannis trade.
Instead of – like go back in time and do Giannis.
I don't think the Rockets, if they make that trade for Giannis, are winning a title.
I don't think Giannis wanted to make that trade.
Yeah, he wanted to be on the New York. He wanted to be in New York.
Or the Bucks. Committed to the Bucks.
Sure, much like the Texans are committed to CJ.
He's very committed.
Very committed to the Bucks up until the deadline, where they never got all the way there with the deal. But he was very open to it, unless it was all a Cauchy scheme. Who knows?
Unless insider trading.
Yeah. Who knows?
I think if you look at the KD trade as like trying to, you know, maybe not get off Jalen Green's contract, but like, ooh, okay, well, we can still like salvage some value out of Jalen Green by using him as a trade piece. Alperen Sengun, maybe this year's version of that. We'll see. Dylan Brooks, good role player, but role player who, you know, before he was a Rocket, his name was Mud in the NBA.
It's true.
And the 10th pick in, like, a pretty good, but, you know, so-so draft.
Yeah, low lottery
pick. Yeah, like, that's not a championship or bust move. It's just the name of Kevin Durant. You're like, oh, my God.
And he won 50 games last year.
Yeah.
The expectation is he's going to elevate you.
But I think when people say championship or bust, they, like, forget the second part of that, like the or bust part. Where it's like, or bust kind of means it's over.
Yeah. You know, you're all in. And the Rockets
either everyone's
getting
fired or this team's blowing up. And it's like, that was never going to be the case.
No.
So it was a move to, like, improve, definitely. It was a move to hopefully go farther in the playoffs than you did the year before. And, you know, extenuating circumstances. We've talked about it all with, A, the guy you traded for not playing. B, the most valuable player on your team, Fred VanVleet, not playing. And then maybe, like, the third most valuable player on your team, apparently, Steven Adams, not playing. But I think that, yeah, KD trade, not great results, especially when you throw in the burner stuff and what that may have done to the dynamics of the interpersonal dynamics of the locker room. But I don't think it's like, again, the or bust part. It's like, well, they can very easily run this back and probably win 50 games again next year.
I mean, in reality, the Rockets' best players likely won't be ready to really win a title until KD's done.
Yeah.
Like when they're 20.
This is a, like, bridge move, yeah, if anything.
And if you heard when we hear Rafael Stone talk about it, how he was there to show them how to get better as players, maybe that will be the great. Now it's tough to hear because you had KD. Maybe that will be the greatest benefit to this young Rockets core, that he showed them how to be pros. Unfortunately, he may have used social media to
detonate this team.
To make the situation a little sketchy as far as the interpersonal relationships.
At least everyone hates him. They don't all hate each other.
You can coalesce around hating one person,
yeah, you know,
as opposed to the rivalries that come from young players trying to find their way.
He didn't tear the team apart. He tore the team apart
from
himself.
He brought them together to hate on him.
Yeah.
But that's not what the Rockets say.
Yeah. I will say the best thing is probably, like, the, I don't know, 5 to 10 games that you definitely lose without Kevin Durant on the team this year.
That's true.
That's actually the best part, is winning the basketball game.
I'm talking about the long game.
Yeah.
Three years from now,
we won't remember the Pelicans game.
No, the most consequential thing that might have come from the Kevin Durant experience is that when he's done, the Rockets' best, however many players still remain from their young core, are actually now in a spot. Amazingly enough, thanks to Kevin Durant's presence, to go win. Now, the question is, does he do more things to detonate, as you say, this team before he's done? But the Rockets say none of that's true.
Yeah.
None of that's true, despite the meetings they had to talk about it. All right, we'll go to break. We got one more segment to go before we wrap it up for the day. We'll take your call if you want to get in, 713-780-3776. One more segment, then Rich Eisen. We will be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Like Us means we're just about done. That was a song that the Cavs played as they were dispatching with the Toronto Raptors. And the Cavs, James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, and Texas's own Jared Allen, they get going tonight against the Detroit Pistons in that game one. The Pistons did what they had to do. I mean, thanks to Jalen Suggs and his non-shooting ass and the rest of those Magic, they were able to come back down 1-3 to win that series. So that one seed gets the four-seeded Cavs at home, and you got Lakers OKC tonight. As far as the games that happened last night, runaway for the Knicks. I was watching that at the same time as I was watching Ryan Weiss get batted around. So it was a very common experience. Both those things were much the same. Watching the Knicks put away the Sixers. And that could maybe just be, hey, the Sixers had an emotional game 7. They only had, what, the one day off. maybe they'll be better in game two. It's not a long trip from Boston to New York, but you can imagine the turnaround with the Knicks being rested and them having to come back from a deficit of their own down 1-3 to Boston. They weren't ready to play last night. We'll see if they're ready in game two against the Knicks. But the Wolves, just a tough out, man. That's a team who had their ups and downs. There are questions about them coming into the playoffs, mostly because of the health status of Ant Edwards. And then they go lose Dante DiVincenzo in the Nuggets series, and you think they're losing Ant. And you know what? They go into San Antonio. And it was a bit of an adjustment, because I was coming off watching the Astros and I flipped to the San Antonio Minnesota game, and I did not know it was Fiesta night. The Fiesta colors were a bit of, oh, okay, let me adjust to this, because, you know, they do the color cord thing in the stands, the court special. I got with it, but it did take me a little bit. And then the game itself, it was very old school as far as points scored. Wimby had double digits in blocks, some fraudulent ones. Some guy was keeping track. There are a couple fouls that should have been called, a gold 10 here or there that should have been called. But he got to his double-digit blocks. Didn't have a great shooting night. Did get his triple-double. Did it with blocks. Hassan Whiteside said, welcome to my world. I'm doing it with blocks. But he did that, but it wasn't enough. As the Wolves did the thing that they always do. They almost threw that game away because it is just part of their DNA not to be normal. They had a lead, and it still wound up with Champagne having a wide open look to win the game. He did not knock it down. So they go in there and take game one. I thought the Spurs would win it probably in six, maybe. Now,
yeah,
I don't know.
Especially game one. Just winning game one, just banking
and getting Ant back.
Getting Ant back, and because we both kind of. We talked about it yesterday before the game, obviously on yesterday's show, where we kind of like we're penciling him in for game three as like that's kind of the
spot maybe they when could steal can one and back. He can come back instead. He's back in game one
and like minutes restrictions still like moving pretty well. Obviously not like not Ant, and he even said in the post game he was like, "I have to be smarter because I am not as physical or I can't be as athletic as I normally am." But yeah, the Wolves, you're right. They're just like just. They're just dogs.
Like Mike Conley has his moments. Like Terrence Shannon, who Chris Finch admitted, hey, we used to just put him in the corner, but you know what? We're just going to give him the ball and let him attack. That's his best way of being a contributor, and he has done that. He's been fearless. They just got a bunch of fearless dudes. Jaden McDaniel. Daniels is a guy who has taken the playoff leap. What it means for his future beyond this series and these playoffs are another question, but he's been their best player in these playoffs, and he made some big buckets down the stretch. So they take game one, and it didn't make me feel great. I wasn't rooting for the Spurs, but just the thought of Minnesota just being another obstacle and them
to the list
and them not going. I already knew they were, but this is more confirmation that not only are they talented, but they're just of a mindset that nothing daunts them. They'll go play the Spurs with Ant hampered and go take game one. And now, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they'll take game two, but they'll attack it like they can get game two. It won't be an approach like, oh, we got our one. They will try to take the heart of the Spurs in their next game. We'll see if the Spurs respond. All right, we're done. Rich Eisen's up next. Since we're done for the day, Sean, what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Nah, sir. I'm good. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.